First chapter, first verse, please stand. In reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number one, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace, and God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, and in all utterances, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. There be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Shiloh, that there are contentions among you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. So grateful and so thankful today, Lord, that you love us so much, you gave your Word to us. And Lord, we have it here today to be able to read and to preach from. And Lord, for many of our people sitting with Bibles on their laps, looking at the Bible as it's being preached, and thank you for all of those things. And once again, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. I just need your help, Father. Lord, I just need what you can give me and can do for me today. And I pray, God, for that. And I ask you, Lord, then to take your word and use it as you see fit. We'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, the second chapter, gives an example of the people who got saved on the day of Pentecost. Great day. Three things, basically, they did after when they got saved. Of course, first of all, they believed and they got saved. Second thing they did in that portion of Scripture, in the second chapter, starting around verse number 41, I think it is, they got saved and they got baptized. And then the third thing the Bible says they did was they continued steadfast in the faith. They got saved, they got baptized, and they continued. Now, I believe that's the same principle that God uses today. I believe it's exactly what he wants us to do today as he did way back there and those on that day of Pentecost. You just get saved, you get baptized, you just continue in the faith. Amen? And so in our churches today, always has been a concern, but in our churches today, I believe we got something that is pretty common in churches today that I don't think was there to the degree it is now, I'll get there, in the book of Acts. I believe in the book of Acts, and I believe through the epistles of Paul writing to the churches, I believe when there was a problem arose, I believe Paul jumped on it with 2 feet. And if you find it, if you go through the book, you'll find Paul dealing with it. I don't believe there was a lot of divisions and schisms and things like that allowed in the church without it being addressed quickly. And I just believe that. And I believe that in our church, as well as other churches across this land, you see feuding, you see fighting, you see anger, you see bitterness, you see backstabbing. Occurs in churches today more than it ever ought to. The Word of God lets us know, of course, that we're all sinful men. And we have tendencies to not always do right. Amen. There's always a way to straighten those things out and take care of those things, and they ought not to be something that becomes a pattern of life. The Word of God tells me that in John the 13th chapter, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." Now, I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear the Bible. I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to listen to this preacher. Okay? Don't you push it off to the back. Off on somebody else. You listen. The way that God says that a world is going to know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ if we love one another. The Bible says that the way the world is going to know that we're disciples of Christ is if we love one another. Now, is that right? That's the only way they've got to know. They can't see your heart. They can see the love of God doing wonderful things through you, loving each other as we ought to love each other. That's what the Bible says. I believe something. We look around at our community today, and it's always been my concern. I mean, I love Jasonville, Indiana. I mean, that's where God put me in a church. I love Linton. I love the towns around this area. There's Shelburne and High Marin, Colmont and Duggar and all these towns. I'm just saying we ought to have a love for them. We ought to care. God is putting our responsibility on our shoulders. Now, I know there's other churches, but I'm talking about Blessed Hope this morning. God has put the responsibility on our shoulders to be a testimony to the people of this area. And I wonder sometimes, we wonder why communities are not being won to Christ. Why aren't people being won to Christ? Why aren't communities changing? Why aren't they doing right? I think all we have to do is look in the normal church, the doors of the normal church, and you'll find out why. I think in churches today you find the feuding and the fighting and the anger and the backbiting and the bitterness that arises, and is it any wonder a community would not want any of that? Now you say, "Brother Ross, do we have a terrible fight going on in Blessed Hope?" No, I do preventative preaching. I change oil real regularly. Why do you change oil? Why don't you just let it go on? Why don't you just run it for 50,000 miles? Because you know you're going to have a problem down the road if you do. So I'm a preventative preacher. Amen? So I want to do some preventative preaching. Amen? I want you to listen to your preacher this morning. I believe there's a way to get along with each other in our churches. I have witnessed and I have seen down through the years, I have seen fights and battles in churches that would not take place in a bar. And a church, let me say to you, is no place for a fight, for a battle. There is a way that God has given us in the Word of God to handle every situation. The reason there's strife and anger and bitterness in churches is because it's not being handled scripturally. Amen? That's the reason it's there. When it's handled scripturally, those things do not have to be. Amen? So I'm going to give you something here that, first of all, I'm going to start with something very simple. If we're going to get along together in a church, one of the things that's necessary, first of all, is true conversion. There's no way a person who's not converted is going to get along with someone that is very, very long. The one main thing that's going to help you get along with a brethren is that you've got to be a saved. You've got to be a brother. Amen? You know, it's a normal thing. Do you know a wolf and a sheep just don't get along together? The wolf wants to kill the sheep and devour it. Now you say, "Brother Ross, is this scriptural?" Let me show you. Over in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Listen to verse number 29. Paul writing here, book of Acts 20th chapter, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. The Apostle Paul says, in a church, there's two kinds. There's wolves, and there's the flock. They'll never get along together. All the wolf wants to do is devour the flock. All he sees, when he sees a sheep, is he sees a needle. So, first of all, if you're going to get along with God's people, you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have the Spirit of God in you. Isn't that right? Sure it is. You're going to have to see to it that you're a Christian, because the Bible tells us when we get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. Am I correct on that biblically? The Bible, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, comes to live within every person who is a Christian, who's born again. Well, here's what God says the fruit of the Spirit is. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So what we know is this. When it isn't that, it's not of God. It's not Spirit-led. I mean, am I right? I mean, am I scriptural? Amen? See, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And so God expects us to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our life and display these things that we're talking about, this joy, this love, this joy, this peace that God wants amongst His brethren. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. God made peace with us when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now let me say something to you, and I won't scare you if you got the assurance of your salvation. I won't scare you. But folks, let me tell you something. There's a lot of folk that's living this thing, and they're not saved. I mean, they're playing games. They've never been born again. They do not have that sweet Holy Spirit in them. I'm not saying that you're that way. I'm saying you better and I better check up. We better make sure that we've just not played some game somewhere, that we're just calling ourselves a Christian. We had some kind of experience. Folks, it's good to have an experience, but what you've got to do is you've got to know Him, and He's got to know you. True? I think I'm scripturally correct, don't you? That's true. So the Word of God tells us that He made peace with us. We made peace with Him through the blood. It's the only way it can be done. The only way anybody can be saved is through the blood, shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. The Bible goes on to tell us, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but tells us that when we get saved and that peace comes to us, we even have peace with ourselves. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We have a peace with ourselves. The Word of God teaches us we have, of course, a peace with the Lord. We also have, the Bible tells us, and I'm not spending time on this, in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter tells us, we also have a peace with the brethren. And in fact, he says, with all men, for as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, God knew there'd be times you couldn't live peaceably with every man, but you ought to do everything, God says. God's telling us. Do everything you can to live peaceably with all men. Now, remember something. This is the Word of God. This is what God expects of His children. Amen. Anything outside of that is contrary to His Word. Do you agree with that? Amen. Ephesians, when we studied Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we spent quite a bit of time on this, but listen to what he says. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, third verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we spent a lot of time on that. When it talked about keeping the unity of the Spirit, what he's saying is, keeping the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit is already there. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to build it up. It's already there. There's a unity with the Spirit of God. Brother Charles, you have the Spirit of God in you. I have the Spirit of God in me. Stephen, you've got the Spirit of God in you. I have the Spirit. There's a unity between us. He says, now what we've got to do is keep it. It already exists. It's there. Now what we do is keep that unity. Keep it correctly. Keep it right. Amen? That's what he's saying. Now, so he wants us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says there ought to be a peace amongst us. Amen? Go with me over in Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians. We're going to look at some scripture, okay? Just keep your Bibles handy. Colossians, the third chapter. Third chapter, 12th verse, 15. It says, put on therefore, that's the 12th verse of chapter 3, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Now the bond of peace he talked about over in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, is here we find it's charity or it's love. Now listen to what he says. Here's what you put on. He said, put on the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. You know what he said? He said, there's probably going to be some quarrels. He knew us, didn't he? There's going to be some quarrels. But he said, you forgive each other. You don't carry those quarrels. You forgive. I've seen it in Christianity today. I'm watching it. And it just absolutely just boggles my mind. The people who claim to know the Lord as their personal Savior has vendettas against people that they have carried for years. And they won't let go of it. And they're miserable. And they always will be miserable. If they're God's child and they're carrying those vendettas, they always be miserable. And if they're not God's child, they'll end up in hell. Living a miserable life. Now what I'm saying is God said that if you have a quarrel against someone, you forgive them. You put on these vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. God tells us to get along with one another. Amen? Get along with one. Isn't that right? I mean, am I right? It's what the Bible says. And he says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Charity is the love of God. And he said, that's what surrounds everything. That's what you surround everything with. It's the bond of perfection. The love of God that loves other people, that he loves other people through us. We love him because Jesus loved him. Listen to me. I don't care what you've got against somebody. Please listen to me. I don't care what you've carried. Brothers, you need to get rid of that. For your sake, you need to put that thing behind you. And if you've done something to someone else and you've carried that, or they've done something to you and you won't forgive them, you better put that thing behind you now. Put it behind you. Live in peace. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen? Now listen to me. Listen to me, church. I'm giving you some good stuff this morning. I really am. I'm giving you good stuff. It's not Bob Ross. It's the Lord wanting me to give this to you. Amen? Okay? So listen to what this preacher's saying. It's a message from God. It's what he wanted me to give to you. It's his message. Okay? So you listen to it. You see, when there becomes a pattern of stubbornness and rebelliousness, unyieldingness, contention and strife, there's something very, very badly wrong. Anybody can raise up in anger, but ought not to live there. Anybody can do that. Anybody can get stubborn and rebellious, but you ought not to live there. You ought to get that thing right. You see, as Paul said to the church, he said, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Amen? Amen. Get a hold of this. It's to help you. Not to hurt you, to help you. Amen? Now think about it. You think about your life right now. You think about it. Who are you holding vendettas against? You get rid of that thing. You forgive. You get that taken care of. You can't live peacefully if you don't. Amen? You won't live in peace if you do that. You hold it. You're going to live a mess the rest of your life till you get that thing taken care of. See, so what I'm simply saying is this, and let me do two more things in Scripture here. 1 Corinthians, let's go over there. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. First Corinthians, I'm going to start reading at verse number 9. You're probably going to wonder, why in the world is he reading this? But listen to verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says this, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We don't hear a whole lot of preaching on this, and when we read these verses of Scripture, we like very much to just kind of skip on by them. But Jesus gave us a list of people who are living those kinds of lives, continually living those kinds of lives. He says they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And what he's saying is they're not saved. Now you say, Brother Ross, you mean if I made a mistake and I did this and that and oh, I repent? I didn't say that. I said, if you're living this kind of a life on a continual basis and you continue that, it's because you've never been born again. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but if you watch the Bible, the Word of God, he's very definite about sexual sins. And a person who's going to live a life of idolatry, live a life like that, I didn't say you didn't make a mistake sometime, you didn't fail sometime, you didn't do, I'm talking about you're going to live a life of idolatry, and I want to tell you something right now, you can live that life, you can continue that life, you better get saved. Now this preacher believes that with all his heart. How many of you know that's out here still in the streets drinking and are drunkards, and I mean that's all they do, and then they walk around and say I'm saved? No, they need to get saved, because the Bible says a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's one who is living a drunkard life. They need to come to Christ. Can they be saved? Oh yes. Can the adulterer be saved? Yes. Oh yeah, that's what's wonderful about the mercy of God. Now you say, Brother Ross, then why did you read it? I'm going to show you over in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I'll just read verse number 5. And here's what he says. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now what he's saying is simply this. I'm just going to use the first part of that verse of Scripture. He says, you know what each one of us ought to do? Examine ourselves. Just examine yourself. You see, that's not me examining you. That's not somebody else examining you. That's you examining you. You ought to examine your life and see if you are in the faith. Now, that's fair, isn't it? Is that what the Scripture says to you? That's what you and I ought to do. We ought to say, you know what, Lord? Am I in the faith? Has there been truly a time when I've had true conversion? That's what I started off with. True conversion. Am I truly a child of God? If you are, praise God about that. That's wonderful. If you're not, get saved this morning. Amen. Just get saved. God loves you. God will save you. But we've got to be, if we're going to get along with each other, we're first of all going to have to be saved. Born again, you see. wolf and a lamb can never get along with each other. Never. Now, over in our text in First Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul was dealing here because he said, in that portion of Scripture, he said that there was some problems there, and there was some dissension between some people, and he was saying to them that that ought not to be. You can't have these dissensions in the church. And he says it was reported to me that it was there, and it ought not to be there. So what he's saying to us is this: what can I do then about that? First of all, listen to me. God is not the author of confusion. Now listen to me, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Peace. He is never the author of confusion. If there is confusion, be sure of one thing: God did not author it. God was not a part of it. And don't claim he was. Oh, I felt led of the Lord to smack my brother. You may have been led of your Lord, but he's not the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? I'm saying to you, God expects us. God is not the author of confusion. Any place you find confusion, you can be sure of one thing: that is not of God. He did not author it. Because the Bible says so. I mean, is that right? So what we need to do is say, if there's confusion and strife and division and all this, you can say one thing for sure: it's not of God. That absolutely is not of God. God has nothing to do with it whatsoever. Correct? I mean, it's getting quieter. I was getting more amens than this. Now, come on. I need those amens. Amen. Keep me going. But am I right? Am I true? Is that scriptural? Sure it is. I'm telling you the truth, you see. Now, I want to show you over in 1 John. First John, the third chapter. Listen to this portion of Scripture. Wonderful portion of Scripture. Verse number 10. In this the children of God, that's in the third chapter, 1 John, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Boy, that's a pretty strong statement. So the person who loves not his brethren is not of God. Now listen. For this is the message ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Listen, you know how you know you're passed from death to life? If you love the brethren. If you love the brethren. And he says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I mean, amen? Now what I'm saying, if you just read those verses, now quit passing them off. Quit doing like this. Quit shoveling them back. Amen. Just let it rest right where it's supposed to rest, right on your head. Amen. And he's telling us that the what it is that shows outwardly, manifests outwardly, what's in here, one of the main things is love for the brethren. Amen. That's correct. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. Now, how do you have this kind of love, Brother Ross? I'm going to give you some just simple truths here. They won't be lengthy, but I'm going to give you some simple truths that will help you to have that kind of love, the kind of love we're supposed to have. I want you to go with me over to the book of Philippians, the second chapter. (Clears throat) He says in verse number 5, second chapter, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know how to have that kind of love and manifest that kind of love? Have the mind of Jesus Christ. Amen? So he's telling us that we ought to have the mind of God. And first of all, when you have the mind of God, you'll be filled with love. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. First verse. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, have not love, why, I'm nothing," he says. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing." I want to say something to you. What Jesus is telling us is this. If we don't have love in our hearts, we don't have anything. All the rest don't mean anything. And God tells us that there's a love that's there that passes all understanding. I've told you before, you don't have to love everything a brethren does, but you are commanded by the Word of God to love him or her and to treat them with kindness. We are commanded to do that. And anything outside of that is absolutely unscriptural and unspiritual and ungodly. We are taught by the example of Jesus Christ that we are to humble ourselves. He humbled himself. And we are taught in the Word of God to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We are to live a life of humility. If we have the mind of Christ, we will be humbled. We will humble ourselves in the sight of God. And you know what that means? That means when that brethren has done something that has hurt you terrible, you forgive. And you humble yourself. You see, schism in the house of God is not of God. Now you listen to me. Division in the house of God is never of God. Never has been, never will be. It is always of Satan using people to disrupt the work of God. Always has been, always will be. Not only that, the thing that Jesus taught us in Philippians, the second chapter, not only to love and have humility, but to be a servant. See, when you've got a servant's, you've got a servant spirit about you, there's just something special there. You're not worrying about what everybody's doing against you. You're just busy serving God. And the Bible tells us that we are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. What's this thing all about? Why do we gather this morning? Why do we have a church? Why do we have all the ministries that this church has? For the furtherance of the gospel. And we are working together as servants together to get the Word of God out so that people will get saved. That's what it's all about. And anything that disrupts that is absolutely wrong. Wrong. Amen? We are to be servants striving together for the gospel. We're working together. We're not working against each other. We're working together. And then, if you'll notice, in that portion of Scripture, the Bible said he was obedient. What we've got to learn to do is just be obedient to the Scripture. Just be obedient. What the Word of God says, don't matter how much it humbles us, don't matter what it does, no matter what kind of position it puts us in, we are to be obedient. Why? For the furtherance of the work of God. So I'm saying to you this morning, church, if there is schisms and divisions, I want to tell you right now, it's not of God. If they are brewing out there in the congregation, be assured of one thing. It's not of God. He didn't author it. He had nothing whatsoever to do with it.
Right.
And you can sit in your proud way and say, I ain't going to change all you want to, but it's not of God.
Right.
It's not of God. Never has been, never will be. So what do? Well, we can do one of two things. We can ignore the warning and go on our way, hindering the work of God. Or we can humble ourselves and do what needs to be done. Do right. Have a quarrel against someone, forgive them. And love them. Can I just give you a shocking statement? There is not one person in this room that's any better than the other one in the eyes of God. Including this fellow standing. Not one. You may have pumped yourself up to believe you're really something, but you're not. In the eyes of God, at the cross, everything's level. And that person you may look down upon, in the eyes of God, he may be saying, you know, he's got a lot of rewards coming. And we may have nothing. We're still children of God. But the rewards is where it's all going to tell. So what I'm saying is, don't look down your nose at somebody. Don't think you're better than they. You're not. And neither am I. We're servants of a wonderful, loving God who loves us. We have the privilege of serving Him. What a privilege. We have that privilege. I'm saying to you this morning, church, don't hold grudges. Don't have divisions. Don't have schisms. If it is there, get rid of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thanking you for the wonderful grace of God. Again, I thank you for the Bible, truth, your word. And I ask you today again, Lord, oh God, help us. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we do want to be what you want us to be. We really do. And Father, I pray that you'll deal with our hearts and areas that we need to change or whatever we need to do that. I pray if there's divisions or schism within our church body, within individuals, Lord, if there's some may have a quarrel against one another, God, that it'll be forgiven here this morning. It'll be taken care of right here this morning before we leave this place. And I sure am thankful for the shed blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible all of us could have salvation. Thank you so much. And I would pray if there's an individual here that does not know for sure they've been converted, true conversion, truly ready to meet God if they should die, I pray this morning they would come, let us take God's word and help them, be a blessing to them, show them. They can walk from this place this morning knowing they're a child of God. I thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.